Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. It's a long way from St. Louis to the Galapagos Islands. No one knows that better than St. Louis Public Radio science reporter Veronique LaCapra. She'll join us in just a couple of moments to talk about her journey to that most interesting part of the world. But first, word of a different kind of journey, the attempt by those seeking to join the workforce to do so successfully. Employment is an issue for millions of Americans. For returning veterans, it can be just one of many issues they face upon returning to the civilian world. We'll be talking about them on today's program with Tommy Sowers, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Assistant Secretary for Public and Intergovernmental Affairs. He's in St. Louis to participate in an event this morning honoring four companies cited for their commitment to hiring veterans and to take a look at the STL Youth Jobs Initiative, a pilot summer jobs program for at-risk youngsters. The Incarnate Word Foundation has a leadership role in the initiative. Foundation Executive Director Bridget McDermott Flood is also with us. And from Mission Continues, a veterans organization dedicated to community service, Steve Wall, a Marine Corps veteran. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Great to be here.
Bridget, I'm going to start with you. I think regular listeners will remember that we talked about the STL Jobs Initiative a couple of weeks ago. It's winding down now. Give us kind of a brief overview as to where you are and what's going on.
Well, STL Youth Jobs is a summer employment initiative here in the city of St. Louis, Don, and we have 200 youth who were recruited to have jobs. We've gotten a lot of support from Mayor Slay and Comptroller Darlene Green. They help with the fundraising for the program. We've gotten a lot of corporate support. But I think the key finding that fascinates me is out of the 200 young people, we have had 5% who have dropped out of the program. So 95% of our young people are completing their summer jobs, which are winding up this week.
And that is better than you had anticipated, the 5% figure.
Actually, it's outstanding. We had been told by people who have done summer youth employment to expect up to 35% attrition. So having 95% of the young people complete the program is outstanding.
You say it's winding down. It's kind of a staggered end to the program, right?
That's correct. The majority of our young people will be finishing the jobs this Friday, but we'll have some that will complete the following week and then some the week after that.
Why? I don't want to belabor the point that the 5% have dropped out, because the real story is the fact that so many stayed. But why have you found that those who dropped out did so?
Well, actually, many of the young people, I say many, it's really only about 10 young people, have found other opportunities. They've either found full-time employment or they're engaged in other academic programs this summer. So it's not a negative story. Quite frankly, it's also positive.
Right. And you're looking to continue this program, funding to expand it for next year, as I understand it.
That's exactly correct, Don. We're hoping to have several thousand jobs next summer, and we're looking for corporate support to help underwrite those salaries or provide jobs.
Let me turn now to Tommy Sowers from Washington, native Missourian.
Born and raised in Rolla, Missouri. It's good to be home.
Welcome home. Good to have you. Tommy, tell me why your department is so interested in this particular program.
Well, I think there's a number of reasons, and one is lessons learned. So for your listeners out there, I mean, veterans unemployment has been a focus for both President Obama and Secretary Shinseki for quite some time. And what we've seen is actually public policy success here. While there's clearly more work left to be done here, the veterans unemployment rate has remained below the national average for much of the last 5 years, the vast majority of it. And just recently, we saw young veterans, post 9/11 veterans like myself, their unemployment rate fall underneath the national average. So the question is, how do you do something like this, and how do you achieve this success? It's clearly not the federal government alone. The VA has some great programs like the post 9/11 GI Bill. I benefited from it. Vince benefited from it. I think, Steve, you're benefiting from it as well. Great program. But then we've got a state program here. Governor Nixon is really focused on encouraging veteran employment. And we saw that today at the city ceremony where we recognized four companies here. So this is an example of a public policy success where you really have to bring all the tools to the fight. And we've seen that with veterans unemployment, and we're hoping to see the same with youth.
Actually, the fact that the unemployment rate for vets, post 9/11 vets, that is,
yep.
I think it's down around 6.3%.
Well, the national average is 6.3%. Yeah. Nationwide, it's 7.6% for all people, 6.3% for veterans, and 7.2% for post post 9/11. And that number used to be up in the double digits not that long ago. And so what we're seeing, again, is educating, providing the right job skills, partnering with the VA so that that veterans understand all the benefits that are out there. And we saw that today at our roundtable, is that there's really getting the word out amongst the employers and getting it out early enough so that next year it'll be more than 200 here in St. Louis, maybe 2,000. That is one of the key things, is making sure people understand the programs that are out there. So I appreciate you having us on today, Don.
Just to be sure I fully understand, is the St. Louis program any kind of a template for something that your department might be thinking about nationally?
Well, I think that this has been a focus of the president. What we've seen is, you know, last summer that there were 300,000 jobs across the nation, 100,000 of them for youth that were paid. The president has fought to make sure that in this budget that we've got quite a bit of funds in order to encourage this. But now, again, the key thing is getting the word out on this. And so I heard today from employers and from the youth themselves about the positive impact they're having on this. So I think that that's something that we're hopeful to see here, is St. Louis learning the lessons this year and applying them and growing the program next year.
You know, this is a program for at-risk youngsters, as I understand it, and as Bridget has explained it. Is there a connection between at-risk youngsters and veterans who are coming home looking for work?
Well, you know, I think let me just make that connection here, is that we know that veterans that come home and just immediately transition out of the military without a large support network, that they are at risk. But what we found is, because of the success of programs like the post 9/11 GI Bill, because of the success of, we have an unprecedented rate of enrollment of my generation of veterans in VA healthcare. And when you arm people with education, healthcare, and a local community, they're off to a great start in that transition. So the question is how can we apply those same skills to tackling another knotty problem, which is youth unemployment?
Right. You're aware, I'm sure, of Mission Continues. One of the guests here in the studio is a representative of that organization. How does your department look upon Eric Greitens and company?
Well, you know, one of the key things, my part of the department looks at outreach. And again, we look at a problem like this as an example. We could expand the post 9/11 GI Bill significantly, but that's not going to solve all the problems out there. So we look at programs like the Mission Continues, the VFW, American Legion, the VSOs, and the organizations that are out there. There's actually 10,000 organizations that have veterans and service members in their mission statement. And so what we know, though, is that as wars end, focus tends to shift away. And so we want to make sure that the great veteran service organizations out there can help us fill the gap and help us tackle some of these big problems.
Let me turn to Steve Wall now. And Steve, for those, and I can't believe there are many people in this community who don't know about the Mission Continues, but give us a brief overview of what it is for those who might not know.
Sure. So we're a national veteran organization that awards six-month community service fellowships to post 9/11 veterans so they can serve in their community at a nonprofit of their choice. And while they go through that 6 months of service, we also work on a personal and professional curriculum to help them develop any skills they need to reach whatever goal it is they have at the end of that 6 months, and so that they can basically use the Mission Continues Fellowship as a springboard into whatever is their next transition.
How well has it been working?
It's been amazing. I'm actually an alumnus of the program. At the end of my fellowship, I was actually taken on at the Mission Continues to now oversee these six-month fellowships. I think it's doing amazing things. I've seen fellows start their own foundations at the end of their fellowship. I've seen fellows start their own businesses, buy homes for their families, get the job that they wanted, get into school, and just start on a new trajectory in life. It's been very positive.
What is the biggest challenge that they face?
There are a lot of things, but you know, what, like we talked about earlier with this youth program, is it's a sense of community. It's a sense of, where do I fit in where I'm physically located? You know, and what we try to do through the fellowship program is give them that sense that they now belong to a community, even though it's not not in the military, but you're now surrounded not only by vets at the Mission Continues and other fellows, but you're surrounded by your host organization. You're surrounded by the people that take part in whatever service that nonprofit provides. You're finding a purpose throughout that fellowship that maybe you were missing, you know, as you came out of the military.
Tell me something about your own transition.
Oh, wow. So I was in the Marine Corps as an infantry rifleman. I do.
Every Marine is a rifleman.
Well,
I happen to know that.
Yes, but that's all I did. I had a great experience over the course of 4 years. Did a couple deployments, one to Asia and one to Afghanistan. And through those deployments, I realized I didn't know a lot. I'm also from St. Louis, and growing up in South St. Louis, I didn't get the broadest world view. But being able to travel to Asia and to Afghanistan, seeing that there was a lot more out there, made me very curious. So I decided to go to school, and I went to the University of Central Florida, studied history and philosophy, and it gave me a lot of insight, but not quite direction. So I found employment after graduation, but I wasn't really connecting with anyone around me. I wasn't self-identifying as a veteran. I wanted to take on this new identity and leave my old identity behind. And once I moved back to St. Louis about 3 years ago, I realized that there is this great community of veterans that I can surround myself with and get resources so I can propel myself forward. And that's how I came to the Mission Continues. And that's why I've decided to stay with the Mission Continues and now pursue a master's in social work so I can continue working with more veterans so they can connect in a community.
Bridget, I'm sure you'd love to hear the word community used the way it's being used here in this program. I mean, that's your world.
Well, definitely. I would say that the whole point of the jobs program is to connect young people with their communities. Actually, most of our employers are located in the neighborhoods where the young people reside, which, first of all, eliminates the transportation problem for the young people, but also connects them to the community so that they're more likely to be caring citizens, so they're likely to care about the businesses in their community. It hopefully cuts down on any kind of juvenile delinquency by having them placed in their neighborhoods. The other piece, Don, that I wanted to mention is that just based on the conversation this morning with Tommy and with Steve, we're looking at possibly having veterans as mentors for the young people after the program ends, because we do need to keep up that sense of community. So that's another positive aspect.
Tommy, that'll work.
Well, you know, in the military, you learn how to lead, and you learn how to lead yourself first, and then the next thing is you need to lead one other individual, and then next thing you know, you're leading 500 folks. So it's through programs, you know, Mission Continues, the local community here, that we could establish a mentoring program like that. But I do want to jump back on that issue of community. I mean, it was great to stand in City Hall today so that, you know, Mayor Slay could recognize four companies. I got to name them: Boxes of St. Louis, Jost Chemical, Metro MFG, and Securitas Security Services. For, you know, saying, hey, look, we want to focus in on veterans. We want to hire them. And one quick story on that, Boxes of St. Louis, I was talking with an employer there, and he was saying about what an asset his employee Corey was, and if only he could clone Corey. Well, that is great. We can clone Corey. There's a lot of folks out there that are entering the workforce. What we also need is we need to clone Boxes of St. Louis. We need those employers to continue to focus on hiring veterans. I think it's a powerful way to make sure the veterans are integrated back into their community.
I want to pick up on that point, but we have to take a break. You have just heard from Tommy Sowers, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Assistant Secretary for Public and Intergovernmental Affairs. That's quite a title, Tommy.
I almost need two business cards.
Right, or a very long one,
exactly.
That's for sure. Also with me in studio is Bridget McDermott Flood, Executive Director of the Incarnate Word Foundation, which is taking a leadership role in the STL Youth Jobs Initiative, which is now winding down, and which is one of the reasons that Tommy is here, is to take a look at how successful this program has been and how some of its aspects might be incorporated into some of the programs his department is looking at. Also in studio is Steve Wall with Mission Continues, a veteran of the Marine Corps. Back in just a moment. If you have questions you'd like to ask with regard to vets and jobs or vets in general, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. We'll take an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. And we'll also take a tweet at STL On Air. Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis On the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. And before we continue our discussion about veterans issues, veterans jobs, and the St. Louis Jobs Initiative, STL Jobs Initiative, here are some of the stories you'll hear starting about 3 o'clock on St. Louis Public Radio today. A Missouri bipartisan investigative committee on privacy protection heard from members of Governor Nixon's staff. The committee is investigating the keeping and managing of driver's license records. And the Sierra Club released a new report today about the impact of coal-fired power plants on water quality. The group held an event in downtown St. Louis along the Mississippi River. These stories and more beginning at 3 and throughout the day on our website, stlpublicradio.org. Now, back to our discussion. Tommy, I'm going to come back to you with regard to the fact that the business community seems to be catching on to the fact that veterans need to be hired, and they're hiring them. What took so long? I mean, it did take some time before folks in the business community realized what vets had to offer.
Well, I think that we've got basically our smallest percentage almost ever serving in uniform. And so in generations past, I would think employers were tended to be veterans themselves, or they were more likely to. So there was some education that had to occur here. And, I mean, it's one of the great things that we see is that veterans really are ambassadors of the veterans that are going to come after them. So it was great to see today at City Hall these employers that have had great experiences by hiring vets. This is not a charity. I mean, this is a wise business decision, and I think more employers are figuring that out.
Steve, are you sensing that your colleagues are feeling some relief, if that's the right word, or that the pressure has lessened as a result of the availability of more jobs?
Well, employment's not the only issue that all these veterans have, especially the post-9/11 veterans. It's, you know, the reacclimation piece. And I don't know if we'll ever be done doing what we do. As job market changes, as education changes, we'll change with it as well to ensure that these vets have every opportunity available to them and have the support network to follow through with it.
Some of the other key issues that you just mentioned are what?
Some of the other key issues?
Yeah.
So the example I like to give is if you take two 18-year-olds in high school together, one graduates and goes off to college and then goes in directly into the workforce, you've got this other 18-year-old who goes off, joins the Marine Corps for 4 years, then comes back, has to figure out where to go to school, where to live, how to live in a civilian community again, you know, what resources they need, how to start the post-9/11 GI Bill, and how to enroll in classes. So they're already behind because they didn't launch directly into that. So now they're at least 4 years behind their peers, and you know, they have to catch up with the internships and the education to get back on track, and then hopefully, you know, catch up with those peers if they can. And you know, obviously, that's going to cause a lot of stress with all kinds of things. With how am I going to pay my bills, and how am I going to support my family? Can I start a family now? It's the same issues that a lot of people face in any type of transition. And you know, we just focus on this very small percentage of veterans that are coming back right now.
But Tommy, they also come back with some advantages. They've had 4 more years experience. They're older, more mature. And they've learned the leadership skills that we've suggested. They really do have some advantages, don't they?
Well, I certainly think so. I mean, the military taught me a ton of lessons. I mean, growing up in Missouri, I got a ton from just growing up in Southeast Missouri. But you know, the military taught me teamwork, discipline, taking on difficult challenges, being very mission focused, having very strong principles and ethics behind all that. And it certainly made me – I depend on those skills now in my current job, and I have in all my other jobs. But where the military made me strong, one thing that has been great is that the VA has made me stronger, whether it was through providing me education benefit. It's Dr. Sowers because of the VA, whether it's having great health care that I have cost-free for the rest of my life. That is a powerful, powerful tool that I've got in my toolkit. Or even just the VA home loan, where you know I'm able to be a homeowner and I can do it in ways that in opportunities that wouldn't be available without my service. So it's that combination of both the military, but then also how the VA has made me stronger.
But a lot of them come back with some baggage too, and that is they come back with health problems, they come back with sometimes mental problems, And this, it seems, has scared a lot of potential employers, thinking they're going to have somebody with PTSD and it's going to be unpredictable and that's going to be somebody that I don't want as part of my group.
Absolutely. There's, you know, and there's a stigma and there's kind of a popular, you know, stereotype that's out there. And we combat that. And really the veterans combat that on a day-to-day basis. But for those veterans that are out there that are in crisis, we've seen a dramatic expansion both in terms of the healthcare and the way that people can access it, whether it's online, whether it's through a social network, or whether it's through a veterans crisis line. We're making sure that, you know, this generation of veterans in particular, that there's no longer a stigmatization about mental injury. Mm-hmm. The problem is, you know, if someone comes back from war missing a limb, everyone kind of knows what to do. They know to help. They know to reach out. But with mental injury, it's not as easy. But again, President Obama and Secretary Shinseki have really focused on expanding our access in mental health care as well. So for those veterans out there that need help, come to the VA. And if they're not already there, come back.
But the VA has taken some heat, too, as you well know, particularly given sometimes the length of time it takes to address some of these issues. I mean, some of these vets come back and it takes them months and months, if not a year or more, to be taken care of.
Well, and you're absolutely right. On the disability compensation, the wait is far too long, and it's unacceptable. It's historically been about a six-month wait for people to get this lifetime benefit conferred upon them. But one thing that I want to make absolutely clear to your listeners is that if it's health care that they need, they should come in today. The great news is Iraq and Afghanistan vets are utilizing VA health care at an unprecedentedly high rate. But for Vietnam vets, a lot of them came back to a different VA. They came back to a different country that didn't treat veterans as well as they're treated today. Those are the folks that we're also really targeting to make sure that they come back and that they can get access to the health care that they've earned.
You mentioned as wars wind down, mm-hmm. as conflict winds down, people tend to forget. It would seem to me that this would be a challenge for you and people like you in VA to make sure that that doesn't happen, because things are winding down.
Yeah, and our mission is very clear. I mean, it's to care for them that have borne the battle and for their widow and for their orphan. I mean, it's broad mission. But one thing that motivates my team every day is there's 22.4 million veterans and only about 8.9 million utilize the service of the VA. Now, that number is growing, but many folks just don't know about it. Here we are in St. Louis. You've got two hospitals, two vet centers. You've got a regional office. You've got a record center. And a lot of folks just don't understand their benefits. Later this year, we're going to actually do our first national outreach campaign. You're going to see it on TV. You're going to see it in print. And it's our first effort to really, on a nationwide basis, make sure that veterans know and understand the benefits that they've earned.
Is the funding there, sufficient funding? I mean, these days of sequestration, everybody's complaining about the fact that it's, you know, diminished resources.
Well, you know, and again, this is a bipartisan issue of support. Certainly, President Obama and Secretary Shinseki have fought hard to expand our budget. It has moved from around $90 billion to over $150 billion in the latest budget requests. So both Republicans and Democrats have gotten behind the issue of we need to make sure the resources are there.
We have a caller who's been waiting patiently to get into this conversation. Let's bring her in now. It's Barbara in Chesterfield. Barbara, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. First, thank you very much for your service. And I wanted to know if you're aware of resources like the 100,000 Jobs Mission at 100,000jobsmission.com. I know the company I'm with has had it in place for a couple of years. And from my last update, I believe over 65,000 veterans have been placed through the corporations that are involved. And I know you've mentioned the business community embracing veterans returning and the strength, of who the people are and the commitment that they've made and the businesses turning around and making that available. And I'll take my comments offline.
Great.
Thanks for the call. Go ahead, Tommy.
Well, and Barbara, absolutely. I mean, that is the 100,000 Jobs Mission, and then broadly the mission of joining forces is, you know, a clear focus of the First Lady and Dr. Biden. And again, it's an example that in order to have the success that we have, and I mean, we can look at veterans unemployment as a public policy success. that it is clearly a partnership with the local employers. We've seen it both at the large corporation and their veterans hiring, but also at the small business level. So it's encouraging to see the numbers are going in the right direction, but much more work needs to be done.
Bridget, you're not part of this conversation because, as far as I know, you're not a vet and dealing with this issue. But what do you think about what you're hearing about these young men and women coming home and the issues they face?
Well, actually, my daughter's boyfriend was in Afghanistan for a year and came back last summer. And he's been very fortunate. He found a job right away. He could have gone back to his old job, but he moved to Nashville to be with my daughter. And so now he's started his own business. He has a contracting business down there and doing real estate development, doing quite well. But I think I talked to him this past weekend about the visit with Tommy and Steve, and he said, well, please let people know that we have a lot going for us, and I think coming at it, like you were saying, Tommy, from a position of strength, I've been extraordinarily impressed with his leadership abilities, his ability to focus on a project, project management skills. People gravitate towards him, and I think that that's really underplayed. We tend to focus on the issues that veterans have, and I think sometimes we overlook the wonderful strengths that they bring to our communities. And I'm looking forward to getting vets involved with STL Youth Jobs, both as mentors and hopefully next week or next year as caseworkers. They could be case management workers in our project because they've got the leadership ability and the management skills.
How are you going to go about that?
Well, interestingly enough, there's a vet who's moving to St. Louis who was in Paul's guard unit in Afghanistan.
That's your son-in-law?
Yeah, and he has five foster care kids, and he wants to get involved mentoring youth. So I'm looking forward to him arriving later this summer, and he's going to mentor me on how to work with vets.
And one other interesting thing, you know, Bridget gave me introduced me to Paul and some of the ideas, and literally on the elevator ride up here, Bridget and I are talking about, hey, these different programs that exist that are out there that to help Paul, whether it's an entrepreneurial or educational skills, and that's what I encourage folks to do. There is a sea of goodwill that's out there. There truly is, of folks that really want to feel an obligation to veterans, and so is to find out whether it's a local community, whether it's coming to the VA, is that there's a ton of resources out there. I encourage them to find them.
Is there a role for Mission Continues, Steve, do you think, in all of this?
Yeah, definitely. You know, one thing that I'm working on here in St. Louis is trying to highlight all the great things that veterans have access to, specifically higher education with the GI Bill as well as the VA home loan. So if we work to attract veterans who are in this transition to St. Louis, they can utilize that education. They can utilize that VA home loan. We move them into our neighborhoods. They become those mentors, and they start building that community, and they stay here instead of getting their education and then leaving.
Do you think that the negatives are overplayed? I mean, we hear an awful lot about veteran suicide. We hear an awful lot. It's not related directly to veterans. We hear about the sex abuse problems within the military itself. There are a lot of negative things that get a lot of play. Is it overplayed?
I think it definitely is. And, you know, it brought a lot of attention to some deficits that were in the veteran community. And that sea of goodwill has come forward to correct those things and provide relief. But I think what's really important is now to start focusing on the leadership abilities and their experiences that they had and what they can bring to our communities and why we should be actively seeking them out instead of just waiting for them to come home, waiting for them to have a problem and then addressing that problem.
Tommy, you want to address that?
Well, you know, I think part of it is there are challenges that are out there. There definitely are. But I like to focus on the efforts that we've made in order to meet those challenges. It's clearly more work needs to be done on providing fantastic health care. Clearly more work needs to be done on really destigmatizing mental injury and intervening in a way that's direct. But one of the things that we're clearly focused on is making sure that veterans inform other veterans of their benefits. It's the way the system works. Veterans trust other veterans. So while we may be serving 8.9 million veterans, we know that the vast, vast majority of them are satisfied customers of the VA. Their lives have been changed, like mine, by the VA. We need those folks to be advocates. We need those folks to go find the other veterans in their communities and inform them of the benefits and services they've earned.
A great many of those veterans today are female. Is there a differentiation in the issues that they face, male versus female vets?
Well, it is definitely our fastest growing demographic. And, you know, the VA has really focused on turning that image of the VA, which is a little more older, a little more male, into really embracing our female veteran population. We've seen a dramatic expansion in terms of the number of health clinics specifically focused on females, the type of the number of doctors that we've hired specifically on that. So it's definitely an area that we focused on. And you know, as the demographics of the veteran population change, so too will the VA.
Yep. It was a big weekend, Steve, for Mission Continues mm-hmm. because of your neighborhood improvement program. You had a lot of training going on. I noticed that a picture in the paper showed a number of the people involved were women. You have a lot of women in Mission Continues?
So this most recent class, which was part of that that project that we did at Herbert Hoover Boys and Girls Club, about 25% of that class were female veterans out of 82. So, yeah, there are lots of women coming back and seeking out these opportunities.
And where does that whole program go from here?
The Mission Continues?
No, the Neighborhood Improvement Program.
Well, the reason we had all those veterans in this past weekend was to begin their fellowship. So we bring them in for the entire weekend. We tell them about what's expected of them, what they can expect from us. And we show an example of service instead of just talking about it all weekend by getting together with 400 volunteers to go out and improve something like that. And then, you know, at least 11 of those fellows out of that class were from St. Louis or in the St. Louis area, and you actually have one on the other side of this wall.
Yes, Jeffrey, our intern. I'm not going to mess with Jeffrey, but we're happy to have him. And if he embodies all the qualities of all the Mission Continues people that I know, then we're very, very lucky to have him indeed. Only a few seconds left. Tommy, let me ask you to put a cap on this. A final thought you want to leave us with?
Well, I would say on this is that for those veterans out there that have come back, and whether it's been days since they've come back or decades, there is a wealth of resources out there to help them not only readjust but to thrive. I've seen it here in St. Louis today. I've seen it both with the mayor, the governor's efforts, and then the local community efforts through Mission Continues, and then what we've seen on the gathering here. And I just encourage those veterans out there to come to the VA and to get the benefits that they fought for and earned.
And we'll give you a final thought. Bridget, anything you'd like to add in parting?
Well, I would just say support STL Youth Jobs. You can make donations to the Greater St. Louis Community Foundation to support youth employment next year, and we're already collecting money for that. So thank you very much, Don, for having us back
again.
Okay.
As one program winds down, you're already planning for the next phase. Thank you very much. That's Bridget McDermott Flood, Executive Director of the Incarnate Word Foundation, which has taken a leadership role in the STL Youth Jobs Initiative. Thanks, Bridget, for being with us. Steve Wall with Mission Continues, thank you so much. Good to see you and
thank you.
Continue the good work of that organization. And Tommy Sowers of the Department of Veterans Affairs, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome home, and you're coming back in August for something I know. Maybe we'll touch base again at that time.
Great. Thanks,
thank
Don.
You. We'll be back in just a moment. Veronique LaCapra, STL Public Radio science reporter, is going to join us. We'll talk about her recent journey to the Galapagos Islands. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.